independent voice for Houston sports. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Belvieu, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's see. We promised it. Gilbert is here. We promised it. We have to deliver it. By the way, Sage Rosenfels is joining us in 15 minutes, so this will occupy your time till Sage gets here. What's going on, Gilbert?
I'm really upset anyway. Really
what
upset.
Happened, Gilbert? What happened?
The Texans won. Yeah, you should be happy.
I can't watch the inside NFL no more. Not on Showtime no more.
Yeah.
Lance, are you there?
Yeah, I think they canceled it.
Lance, are you there?
Yeah Lance is here. What's the matter?
Lance, are you there?
Yeah, yes, he's here.
Lance. You know, was the NFL Network show the inside NFL or not?
Yeah, he's on the NFL Network. Did you ever get your picture from
Colleen? He'll get to it. He'll get to
did
it.
Did you ever get
just
your picture?
Just take your time. He'll get what? To it.
From Colleen Wolf, what? Remember?
No, I'm talking about the program, Inside the NFL.
No, he wanted.
Oh, he wants the NFL mug from Inside the NFL.
He wanted.
What about your? What about Colleen Wolf? Remember, he's supposed to get you a picture anyway.
Yeah. We'll get a picture. I'm curious about something anyway. Is the NFL programming on NFL Network or not? I'm asking.
No, it's not. No, we've got our own program, so we're not going to run inside the NFL. We've got our own.
That's on HBO.
Listen, I can't get Paramount TV on my cable.
Yeah, listen, NFL Network, Gilbert, we've got shows that are way better than Inside the NFL. So
no, nothing's better than Inside the NFL.
Yeah, we've got a lot of great stuff.
It's terrible.
No, we got a lot of great stuff.
No. Inside the NFL is the greatest show ever, and you should get Gilbert a mug from there.
Gilbert, we got a lot of great stuff. No, he asked me to go to the game and buy him a
Inside the NFL mug?
No.
Colleen Wolf.
A program?
Yeah.
From the game?
Go and buy a program.
Oh, I got you one from the Super Bowl, Gilbert. You
he
remember that?
Care. Yeah, you also got him in to talk to Roger Clemens. He got a tour of the Astros. Prince once said, and when doves cry, he's never satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
He's never satisfied.
Mama's never satisfied.
Yeah, but Prince was also talking about Gilbert.
Oh, Gilbert's never satisfied. Gilbert's satisfied. Gilbert, aren't you?
No, he's not. If you gave Gilbert 10 egg rolls, would he be satisfied? Gilbert, if John gave you 10 egg rolls, would you be satisfied or would you want more?
One more.
There you go.
Yeah.
He
wants 11. You know why? Because 11's more.
There you have it. Remember when we got Gilbert a bike from Sun and Ski?
Yep.
Gilbert, did you want a second bike from us?
Yes, he did. Of course he did because he lost it. Because,
he
got it stolen.
Satisfied.
Who stole your bike, Gilbert?
Oh, don't.
A black guy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You did.
That's what I thought.
You did that. That's not even on Gilbert, honestly.
What?
What?
Nothing.
So, Gilbert, did you ever get that Colleen Wolf picture that Lance was going to get for you?
No, I didn't get it yet. No.
He's trying to get it.
I didn't get it either.
Would you call Colleen and get this done?
She told me she has no, there's no headshots, there's no current pictures of her currently.
Maybe she can. Well,
why don't you get to the game when Carolina comes in and get him a program?
I'm not going to the game. I'm not going to the game. No.
They don't make program books no more this year.
Huh?
They don't make program books.
Yep, they don't make them
anymore
this year.
They do not make program books this year.
No, That's right. It's all digital.
There's an app now.
It's all digital, Gilbert.
Yeah, put the app on your phone.
Put it on your cell phone.
What's that?
Huh?
What?
I did the confusion.
Which one
call.
Is that?
So
is
what,
that?
Gilbert?
The program book.
Do you have a cell phone?
They don't do it no more. What program book? They don't make it no more.
I think that's all digital.
No, they don't make them
no
more.
Yeah, it's all digital now.
So it's now. Yeah, it's on the phone. Everybody's phone now. Gilbert, let me ask you a question. Did you watch the Texans game?
Yeah, they were good. They're going to win Sunday probably.
Yeah, I think so too.
There we go. Against the Browns.
All right, there you go.
There we go.
So you like them plus 12?
Gilbert, okay. What's the score going to be for the Texans in Texans and Browns, what do you see the score as?
24-17.
Texans?
Right.
24-17.
24-17. Got it.
24-17 Texans. I got you. Yeah. I'm all about that. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Now get Gilbert. All right. You know who they're playing?
In Cleveland.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Gilbert knows.
Gilbert knows. He's all about that.
Who is going to have more passing yards, Tyrod Taylor or Baker Mayfield?
Taylor.
Taylor? Okay. There you go.
Who is going to have more rushing yards?
Nick Chubb.
Mark Ingram or Nick Chubb?
I don't know yet. Well, have a good day. Keep okay. those
all right,
egg
that's
flying.
It.
Bye-bye.
It's done.
He said keep those egg rolls frying.
Keep those egg rolls frying.
You got it.
Yeah.
24-17.
Yeah. That's
there you have it. Play the money line.
Oh, my goodness. I'm looking at, do you get this stat head every day? This is, okay, yesterday's top performers.
No, I don't get
and
that.
And they put about 10 guys up there. Jose Siri, 4-for-5, 2 homers. Yordan Alvarez, 2-for-5, 2 homers. Alex Bregman, 2-for-3, 1 homer. Jose Altuve, 2-for-3, 2 RBIs, 3 runs. 4 Astros made the list. Of course, they scored 15 runs, so a bunch of guys were hitting. Do you think, just finishing up our conversation from last, this made the point that maybe there's a, I don't know about a rift between the front office and Dusty, but that James Click actually had to trade Miles Straw just so Dusty couldn't play him anymore.
I know. Is that true?
I think it is.
Why do you think that's true?
Because he made some comments afterwards.
Just say Pawpaw, we're not playing Miles.
No,
that?
He and Pawpaw said, no, I'll play who I want to play. I'm making the decisions on the field.
Pawpaw is in his 70s.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's definitely of age where, like, my mom is there now.
Mm-hmm.
Where my mom used to, you know, fake it. I guess she obviously was faking it. Like, hey, do you want to go do something with the, you know, with Drake and Chelsea when they were young? Like, oh, okay. It was just a given. You know, mm-hmm. Your mom was going to do that. Now, hey, Mom, we're going to a park. When we go to New Braunfels this year, we're going to a park. You want to go with us? Nah, that's okay.
No, go ahead.
Oh,
have fun.
Do you? Is there an excuse you want to give? No,
no.
I don't want to do that. That's it.
When you're 70, you just don't.
You just don't want to do it. Don't want to do it. So your point is actually probably accurate. You might say something like, "Listen, Dusty, if you don't do this, we're going to have a problem. So, what are you going to do? Are you going to fire me? Great. I'll be out of here anyway. I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do."
Besides,
and that means playing a light-hitting center fielder like Miles Straw. Dusty, do you want to – we can give you an early vacation. Great. I've been hoping for an early vacation. As long as you pay out that contract, that's fine. The rest of the year, I guess we just have to trade Miles Straw because Papa won't listen to us.
Well,
Papa Dusty is going to do what he wants to do.
Because Miles Straw would have been out there almost every day. There would be no Myers. There would be no McCormick wouldn't have played. Myers wouldn't have played. Jose Siri wouldn't play. Nobody would play because he's got a slappy Miles Straw hitting 242. And he's got to be out there every day and not even as fast and not as good a center fielder as maybe any of those guys. Nice job. Well, way to go, James Click. Hey, did you see this? Expiring soon. Texans ticket offer. Houston Texans, join us for Thursday night football. Texans versus the Panthers. Fans like yourself, so electric. Because of our win, you're unlocked. A limited time ticket offer, valid until Wednesday, September 15th.
Because of the win. If they had lost, this ticket offer would not have been available.
No.
But it says right there, because of our win on Sunday, you've unlocked a limited time ticket offer. I mean, well, can you imagine the luck?
What if
not only did the Texans get a win, it also unlocked a ticket offer that wouldn't have been there otherwise.
No, it would have been much better if they lost this game. They'd be like, okay, we'll give you 4 tickets,
hey, I'm all
4 beers, 4 hot dogs for
going
$4.
I hope the place is filled up. I hope everyone goes and has a fun time and they beat the Carolina Panthers on the Thursday night game. I think that's awesome. I want you to go to simpleseats.com and get them. But regardless of that, I just think it's funny that you can tell that they have no idea. They've been able to coast for so long on just tickets were sold out. Now the ticketing department's like, I don't know. What do we do to make people excited? I've got I've got an idea for you. Say that the win unlocked a special ticket offer that wouldn't have otherwise been there. Create urgency. We've got to create the urgency by saying a special ticket offer was unlocked because of this win, but it's going to end soon. Well, I feel like it'll still be there. I feel like that ticket office.
I think they went to the, they said, okay, let's go to the Rockets website and see what they do.
Yeah.
How do they get people in there?
Let's do this. Four hot, and they did.
They did.
Four tickets, four pizzas, four Cokes. Like, hey, that's the Rocket. That's a Guys Not Out Rocket special. What are y'all doing? Y'all copying? Here's something else. For all of you rowdies who come out there to our football games. No, don't say rowdies. Don't say rowdies.
Well, it's Blood Red Day or whatever they have. Battle Red Day. Sage Rosenfels is next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll break down what the Texans did on Sunday. Right now, though, get those cars to those kids.
It's time for Cars for Kids and your car donation, car, truck, motorcycle, whether it's running or not, it helps to fund a kid's second opportunity, second chance to get that college diploma. It's important, or high school diploma. It's important for kids to get the second chance and the opportunity to succeed. And it's young people. It's not just kids. It's really young people. And this is a way that you can help fund it by donating your vehicle, whether it's running or not running. And you are going to get a tax write-off. And that's the awesome thing is they'll come haul it off. For some of you, it's just junk sitting in your yard or in your driveway or at a storage facility. You can't get rid of it. You're going to do something with it. You're going to fix it up. But it's been sitting there for 2 years. Listen, have carsforkids.org come out, haul it off. You'll get a tax write-off. They'll give you a $50 gift certificate when you mention you heard about it from ESPN 97.5. And the great thing is, Cars for Kids is working with Houston Can Academy to help give these kids a second chance. So this is a great chance for you to do something nice for someone else, get something off your property, and get a tax write-off to boot. Right off the car, not the kid. Carsforkids.org.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
You're locked into the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time now to look back at this past weekend's NFL action with former Texans QB Sage Rosenfels. For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sage Rosenfels joining us here. Sage, welcome back to the show. This has got to be a lot better hit for you than the Chicago hit you got to do this week. That's not going to be very pleasant.
Well, yeah, right after this show, I'll be breaking down the Chicago Bears offense, which I've done now for, I don't know, about 4 years, and then going on talking about that quarterback situation, which, you know, you look at the two teams, and, man, you have to be happy in Houston. The way Tyrod Taylor played, of all the quarterbacks of week one, I would say Tyrod Taylor may have played better than any quarterback in the NFL. He was phenomenal on Sunday.
Well, I mean, you got a chance to watch all the coaches' tape already?
Yeah, so I just got done watching it. And, you know, the thing about what Tyrod does that people can't understand or never probably understood about him or just quarterbacks in general. Because, you know, everyone loves to look at the stats. Everyone loves to look at the quarterback rating or the QBR or whatever, you know, these numbers. But certain quarterbacks make people around them better. And Tyrod Taylor did that on Sunday, did that extremely well. He made his offensive line better. I mean, there was a couple plays, one in particular, where there was a D tackle that went completely unblocked to the left guard, sort of fanned out to a wider rusher. Nobody blocked the D tackle. Did he get Tyrod Taylor in the pocket? No. Tyrod Taylor made him miss, ran out of the pocket. I think he even just threw that one away. But there's three or four other plays where he made something happen, where he hit somebody down the field. Obviously, the big play at the end of the first half was huge. But quarterbacks that make players around them better always have more success as a team, even though the overall numbers may not be 125 quarterback rating. Of course, he had a really good rating this game, but Tyrod in this game and has consistently done this in his career, he does make people better, in particular that offensive line, with his ability to scramble and get out of trouble.
It was a little surprising that Brandon Cooks was able to go up and get that football between two guys and
wrestle
it.
Yeah. I like it.
I don't
see not what
him
he's known
that,
for,
no,
but he did it.
That's a D-hop kind of catch where you go up in between two guys.
He was fired up, too, after the catch.
Yeah, he really was. Those are the kind of plays, too, though, that Sage, that I mean, as a quarterback, you throw it up like that into double coverage and you come away with it. That's nice.
Well, you know, the general thought process is, you know, DBs are DBs for a reason, all right? Most people want to play wide receiver if you're that sort of body type. If your guy runs a 4.44, you'd rather play receiver than corner. Corners for guys who don't catch as well, you know, don't play the ball as well. And, you know, Brandon Cooks twice in this game, one on that deep corner route, and, of course, the scramble at the end of the first half, that was about a 50-yarder where Tyrod hit them in about the 10-yard line. Those are plays because he is a speedster, and so he gets so far down the field that if you just sort of give him a chance, you know, a lot of times DBs don't play the ball, you know, very well. So, and both those plays, you know, good on the Texans for having him in route combinations that he's like the vertical threat of this team. I do like what they've sort of put together here as an offense. It's, you know, going into the season, you're very unsure, like, what type of offense they're going to have in the sense of, like, who's going to be the go-to guys. But as you saw, they play four different running backs. I really like Farrell Brown as a tight end. I hadn't really seen him much before. And then, obviously, you know, Cooks is a speedster. Amendola came in, of course, did a great job as the underneath guy. I mean, that's going to be his role in this football team. He does that role extremely well. They were looking for sort of that, you know, high completion percentage, you know, third down and four, you know, type of guy who get a little separation underneath. Danny Amendola is not going to be the guy vertically down the field. Brandon Cooks is. And so you're going to see some deep balls to him, I'm sure, a lot this year.
What'd you think about, I thought Tim Kelly did a really nice job from start to finish in terms of being multiple in his formations, a lot of pre- and post-snap movement to create some misdirection. I mean, I don't know that the Texans are going to be a great downhill rushing attack, but he stayed true to it for the most part, and I liked how he tried to manipulate some of the defensive front with some of his pre-snap looks.
You know, it is really interesting as you watch this team and you watch this offense. And, you know, obviously there's the big Baltimore influence. And shoot, I was watching that game last night against the Raiders, and you see how that offense works. And then you can, okay, you can bring that offense over to Houston. You know, the shotgun run heavy offense is, you know, it's sort of rare in the NFL. There's only a couple of teams that actually do that. And what I also worry is, you know, is the play action actually any good when a team's in shotgun? And I've always been sort of an advocate that it's not very good. Because the fakes aren't as good and the ball is not out as long. The defense doesn't focus, you know, on the runner as much. But the way they do their shotgun run game, it's very, very good with also the play action passing game. They are very much downhill. They're sort of right at you, sort of, you know, power type plays with the guard pulling. And, you know, that sort of looks like maybe an RPO type stuff or stuff where Tyrod can run a little bit. I mean, watching the Baltimore offense last night, watching this Houston offense, it seems like to me Tyrod does a great job of running it. You know, because he can run. Of course, he's not Lamar Jackson, but the way he throws and his accuracy is probably better than Lamar Jackson. And so, in some ways, I think you're actually getting a more complete version of this offense than what you see in Baltimore because the quarterback is more refined, more accurate thrower, and of course has seen the more looks, you know, than Lamar Jackson. So it's a very interesting running game. It's, you know, it's different than I'm used to. It's not the outside zone of the Kyle Shanahan and Kubiak and the play action, the bootleg type stuff. But in its own way, since it's such downhill right at you, those linebackers have to be aggressive defensively to fill those gaps, which opens up some really good passing lanes on the play action as well.
They got to be able to run it better, though. I mean, They averaged, you know, 3.9, but most of it was Tyrod Taylor. The backs were just averaging 3 yards a carry. Did you see anything? I saw they did a little bit of outside zone and actually had a pretty nice gain outside on one play. But for the most part, Sage, they just can't. Can this offensive line just line up and overpower you? No.
No, I mean, I don't think really almost any NFL offensive line can just line up and really say, we're going to just run the ball right at you and get 5 yards a carry. That's not really the way it works. You know, at the end of the day, an offense usually has about between, you know, 55 to 70 offensive plays, right? A lot of times it's like 65 plays in the game. So let's take those 65 plays. If your quarterback throws the ball 45 plays or 50 plays, you're not going to win a lot of football games. He's going to get beat up a lot. The offensive line hates that. It's really hard. The hardest thing to do is just drop back pass, and to do that time and time again is hard. So to me, running game isn't necessarily always about the actual yardage that you get. It's, you know, are they positive yards? Even those threes and fours, those will get you a third and four. And, you know, third and four in this game for Tyrod Taylor was great. I mean, he hit Amendola a few times. They even ran the ball a couple of times on third and three, third and four for first downs. He ran it a couple of times. I mean, that's where you want your quarterback to be exceptional, is on those third downs, where they're much easier to do that on third and four, third and five than they are on third and nine, third and ten. So I thought the running game was pretty solid. I mean, there were some good runs in there. As you said, they ran an outside zone for about a 12-yard gain. Of course, the quarterback ran some, but you know, Ingram was, you know, up the middle. He was right at you. Sometimes they were just twos and threes, but he definitely had some 7, 8, 9-yard runs in there. And it's not just the running plays and how well they do from a yardage standpoint. It's that the defense has to focus on those runs, which, again, sets up the play action. And you saw that a few times in the game. You saw some of those play actions, those you know, a tight end, I think, and the receiver, you know, wide open, sort of right in the middle of the field. Well, that's because those defenses have to focus on being so downhill. And the way their running game is, it's a very downhill running game. And usually those don't pop for, you know, 20 or 30 yards. A lot of times those are just, we're going to come right at you. We're going to get our threes and fours. And I thought they did a pretty good job in that game. To have 26 carries, you know, for your running back is always great. By the way, the running game is interesting. I've been doing some studies on it and reading some really good articles about, you know, for the most part, a lot of teams have very similar running game numbers until you hit that fourth quarter. Now, if you're way in the fourth quarter, boom, you run the ball, you know, 10, 12 times in that quarter. If you're losing going in the fourth quarter, you start throwing the ball. And so everyone gets a little bit sometimes overhyped or whatever about, oh, man, we didn't run the ball enough, or we ran the ball. We did this many runs, and that's why we won the game. Well, they had a lot of runs in this game, 26 from Mark Ingram, because, of course, they're winning in the second half, in particular in the fourth quarter. So I thought the running game was solid. It was very good. They ran for about 150 yards, and I think you ask any offensive line, any offensive coordinator, hey, you can run for 150 yards in a football game. Would you take it? And they would, in the NFL, they would take it every single time.
41 rush attempts and 33 pass attempts. So, you know, good balance. They, as you mentioned, they really started to, and I think some of the yards per carry started coming down in the fourth quarter when it was more obvious that they were going to run in certain situations. So you have to factor that in as well. I was impressed with Mark Ingram in the preseason. I thought last year, what I saw in 19 is he still had plenty left in the tank. In 20, he just got caught up in a situation where there was just a lot of running backs to try to feed, and he was odd man out. And what we've seen so far, Sage, is in the preseason, of course, in game one, he's still got his downhill burst is still pretty good. He's still got some power after contact. Mark Ingram's going to be a much bigger factor in this offense maybe than it was initially anticipated when he was when they signed him as a free agent initially.
Oh, I absolutely agree. You know, they as we saw, they play four running backs, and you don't see that a lot. You don't see teams even dress four running backs. I think a lot of times it's three true tailbacks that get dressed, especially guys that don't play a ton of special teams. You know, sometimes you'll have a running back who's really a special teams guru. But, you know, they play four running backs, and they all do different things. As you said, Ingram is the downhill guy. He is not, you know, he's not a guy who's living on the edge and trying to get outside and trying to bounce it outside and go for the home run. He is coming right at you, runs behind his shoulder pads, you know, 4 yards in a cloud of dust type of running back. And I thought he was really, really good in this ball game doing that. And I think that's going to be his role this year. Of course, you've got Philip Lindsay. He is the sort of the bounce outside guy. You saw him, you know, on the sort of fumble, incomplete pass, jet sweep, where he, you know, he's the more the speedster of the group. But you know, David Johnson does a lot of things extremely well, and of course, Rex Burkhead has, you know, seen it all and been to Super Bowls and all those things. So you have four running backs who have a lot of experience who can do different things. They all can do good things on third down. They all do what, you know, can do well, good things in the passing game as well. So you do have a nice mix of running backs for Tyrod Taylor to work with. And, of course, Mark Ingram, he is sort of the bell cow. He is the bull of the group. And there's going to be games where he might have 3 or 4 carries based off of the type of game, because they want, you know, David Johnson or Philip Lindsay or Burkett in there. It's more of a passing role in that game. You know, there's more third downs or, you know, third and longs or whatever it might be. And when Mark Ingram is called on, to be that downhill rusher to get 20, 25 carries a game, I think he'll be very, very good in that role. And, of course, he knows this offense extremely well.
Yeah. Well, and in the preseason, Scotty Phillips was the most explosive back they had. We'll see if he can get on the active roster anytime soon. But they're so crowded. I don't know why. Five backs, for whatever reason, they kept five backs, and Scotty Phillips was inactive this week. Sage Rosenfels is here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He's going to join us every Tuesday. He's got another segment to go on the other side. We'll talk a little bit about the defense and what they did and what he saw out of Trevor Lawrence and a whole lot more. Don't you go anywhere. Right now, though, we're talking about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Aqueduct with an E, aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's where you go if you have any issues whatsoever. And you may have some issues. I don't know if anything happened to your home or, God forbid, anything down there. Actually, those guys are down there. But if you can hear our voice, Aqueduct Plumbing Company will get to you. Doesn't matter where you are, Beaumont to Katy to the Woodlands to down to Galveston or even higher than the Woodlands up in Conroe. They'll travel anywhere. And here's the deal is, unlike a lot of plumbers, they're going to charge you just for showing up and giving you a consultation. They're not going to charge you for that. Free on-site estimate. They do the work. They're not a subcontractor, Lance. You're going to get direct pricing from a professional.
And they can prevent those expensive water leaks. I was somebody who had an expensive water leak, and it was such a pain in the ass. I'm just being honest with you. 281-488-6238. If you have a water leak, if you need a water leak test, if you need repiping, they are the ones to go to. If you want to simply get a tankless water heater, they're the ones. If you have a drippy faucet, they're the ones. Once again, take the number down, and when you need a plumber, trust aqueductplumbingcompany.com, 281-488-6238.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked into the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time now to look back at this past weekend's NFL action with former Texans QB Sage Rosenfels. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sage, what do you think about the rumors, Matt Campbell to USC?
We were asking an Iowa State guy about our head coach leaving Iowa State for another team that wears similar colors. It would be my favorite thing. You know, Matt Campbell's been, I think this is his sixth year at Iowa State. I think he came in 2016. I think it's his sixth year. Pretty much since he got there, there has been rumors that he might leave. You know, obviously, Iowa State is not Alabama or Clemson or even USC from a brand standpoint. I know last year for a fact, the Detroit Lions offered him an 8-year contract at, $60+ million, and he turned it down. I mean, about $8 million a year, probably twice as much as what he's making at Iowa State. So, as a Cyclone fan and an alumni and former player, we're so used to it at this point of rumors of, could Matt Campbell go here? Could Matt Campbell go there? I know he was offered the Florida State job a year or two ago, turned that down, wasn't interested. And I really do think he likes Ames, Iowa. And I know, in big Houston, Texas, these bigger markets, you think, why would somebody want to stay in Ames, Iowa? But I think there's an ease, an easiness also to coaching in Ames, living in Ames. He's a pretty young guy, 40 years old, with four kids. And I got to imagine a guy that's from the Midwest, originally from Ohio. I think he'd rather raise his kids in the Midwest than in Los Angeles. I mean, USC's campus is right in sort of South Central right there. So, where's his family going to live? And, is that what he wants? And so, any big job that comes open, Matt Campbell's name is going to be one of the first names thrown into that hat, and even at the pro level. So as an Iowa State fan, are sort of used to it. They would shock me. It would absolutely shock me if he would go out to USC of all jobs. I mean, if Michigan last year didn't re-up Harbaugh and give him an extension and end up firing him after this year, I could see Matt Campbell leaving for Michigan, right? The Ohio-Michigan, type of rivalry over there. Sometimes you feel like he could be a Midwestern Big Ten type of guy. So there's jobs I could see Matt Campbell leaving for, But the USC job, that would absolutely shock me.
I think the pro jobs are the ones to keep an eye on, too, because I think pro teams
jobs,
are going to...
Yeah, I was going to say the pro jobs, my biggest concern about him going to the pros is, you know, he is a culture guy. That is his strength.
Yep.
You know, take an 18, 19, 20-year-old kid, young men, and turning them into a, you know, very good football team. Guys like playing there. Guys work together. You know, they have this sort of never-die mentality. They're great in the second half and the fourth quarter when you're sort of, you need that culture to really show itself. When guys are getting tired, guys are getting worn out. We got to win this. We got to, you know, win this fourth quarter and find a way to win this game. That's where they're phenomenal at. The NFL, it is not that. It isn't. I mean, at the end of the day, your culture is the paycheck. Like, I'm gonna play hard because I'm making, you know, $1 million or $5 million or $10 million a year or whatever it is, and I want to make more. And so everyone is so incentivized to play at a really high level. And my biggest concern from an NFL standpoint is, you know, his coaches, almost all of his coaches, come from the sort of the lower levels of college football, you know, Toledo and of course Mountain Union where he played. You know, that when you come from a lower level of college football, you're just not going to have the super fine details that NFL coaches have for offensive line play, protection, you know, those types of things. And so that is my biggest concern about him being an NFL coach. Is that, you know, the culture stuff doesn't, of course you want to have a good culture on an NFL team, but you're going to get that with, you know, the leaders and the captains and the superstars. Are they, you know, team type guys? You know, it's going to be with your quarterback, you know, those types of things. It's not going to be, you know, just the fact the head coach is great with the rah-rah speeches, right? Mm-hmm. So that is my biggest concern about if he would ever jump to the NFL. You know, what coaches would he hire? You know, we saw that even with Urban Meyer, great college coach, goes to the NFL, of course, hired mostly NFL assistants, and you saw the results, you know, in that football game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Our one Iowa fan who listens, Tony, said, as an Iowa fan, I would be devastated to see Campbell leave ISU. Okay, that's just... That's obviously a shot. Sage, I want to ask you about Trevor Lawrence. I'm assuming you watch Trevor Lawrence as well. I don't know how much you got into him, if you got real deep into the tape. He did not have a great game. I think it's sad that so many fans make quarterbacks their battlegrounds, and they want to fight with each other on social media over wanting this quarterback to fail or succeed, or, you know, calling people busts so early. Talk about what goes through a first-time starter's mind and the difficulties and challenges they face going from college to pro for their first game.
I think probably number one is patience. You know, when I watch some of these young guys play, and a lot of times they struggle early. You know, you saw with Burrow last year, they just don't light it up. And you go from being a college, if you're, you know, highly picked, you're the first overall pick, you probably had an unbelievable college career where you won 95% of your games. You know, Trevor Lawrence has all the sort of the college recognition and success, and then you're naturally going to be drafted to the worst team in the NFL, the worst team in the NFL, and I don't even know if it's close. I mean, this Jaguars team is a really bad football team, and so to have the patience to go through the process of trying to win football games, trying not to force the ball down the field and try to be the hero, and then, you know, probably consistently losing games, at least for a little while, that's really, really hard for a young quarterback. And so when I watch Trevor Lawrence play, all I can really say to him, or, you know, if I was coaching him, was you got to play the marathon game here, right? I mean, we're going to try to win as many football games as they can this year and as they go, but you got to be really patient. And also impatience is his actual play. Don't force the ball down the field. And you saw it in this football game a couple times. He tried to force the ball into tight coverages, and you end up throwing the ball to the other team. The football field in an NFL game is the exact same size as it is in college. It's the exact same size as it is in high school. But the field shrinks because the players are bigger, faster, stronger, but more importantly, they're smarter. They understand exactly what offenses are trying to do to them. They know their own weaknesses of their coverages. And so if you hold on the ball and take that second or third hitch and try to fit that seam route in there when the timing's not there, and the window might be a little bit smaller, it's it's going to get intercepted, and we saw that in this game. So when you're losing in the football game, it's hard to be patient, but you sort of have to be. You have to check it down whether you like it or not, because the defense is going to force you to play, you know, short to deep. They're just not going to let you throw the ball on the 20-yard dagger routes or the seam routes when they're up by 10 points in the second half. They're going to force you to check the ball down. So in multiple different ways, you know, Trevor Lawrence has to find a way to be patient and they sort of pick your spots. You know, he threw that touchdown pass on the little play action. You had the seam route down the middle of the bender, then you had to go around the outside. By the way, Texans did not play that well at all. He could have probably thrown it down to the guy in the middle of the field as well, and he would have been a wide open for a touchdown too. Those linebackers have to play that better so the safety's not just sort of left out to dry out there and playing two guys. But you have to pick your spots. And that's one thing I learned when I was playing. You can't force everything. Not everything is a hero play. When the defense gives you an opportunity to take a shot, take it. But if they don't, be smart, check the ball down, you know, try to get first down and sort of move the ball methodically down the field, but try not to be a hero, especially in the first game. And I think he tried to do too much in this game, but also he sort of had to. I mean, his offensive line was leaky. He was moving around a lot. Even when he was trying to sort of stay in rhythm, he was almost always moving from his spot. Really hats off to the Texans defensive line for causing a lot of disruption in that offensive line in game one.
All right, before you go, quickly, what are you going to propose to Chicago about Justin Fields? Should he be out there now?
Listen, I'm watching Chicago football games as a fan just to watch Justin Fields. I don't think anyone turned, hey, the Bears are playing, let's go watch Andy Dalton. And that's not a shot on Andy Dalton. You know, is he from Katy, I believe?
Yep.
Right? So, you know, he might even have family listening to the show. I've always thought he's a pretty good quarterback. But listen, we all know Justin Fields is the future there. He adds a different element to the game that Andy just doesn't have. And, you know, I at some point here, maybe it's week 3, 4, 5, you got to think Justin Fields is going to be the guy. And if you're an offensive coordinator, head coach, offensive coordinator with Matt Nagy, and you can't design an offense for a young quarterback like Justin Fields with all his abilities, that's on you. Justin adds a lot of elements to the game. I mean, running ability. This kid is like a running back. And he's a 4.44 guy. He is thick. He's a strong kid. I believe he can protect himself. You can design a passing game that's a little bit more conservative with all the different protections and trying to leave him out to dry and having him think too much. You can design a game plan for a young quarterback who has all the physical attributes that Justin Fields has and be successful. You really can. And, you know, they don't think they're there yet or whatever they're trying to do over there in Chicago, but with Nagy, they're going to play it the way they're going to play it. But if it was me, I'd get him on the field more and more, you know, as the season goes on and, you know, in probably week 3 or week 4, he's my guy. He's playing. I think he gives Chicago the best chance to be successful. Their offensive line is crap up in Chicago too. So who do you want? A guy who's pretty much a pocket passer or a guy who can, again, sort of like Tyrod Taylor, make the offensive line better than it is.
And you got to, Nagy and Pace, if it doesn't work out, they're both going to be gone. So they got to give themselves the best chance to win. And boy, after the Rams, you know, it's really going to be a difficult challenge if they don't start making it exciting soon.
Mm-hmm.
9:45 here, Sage. We appreciate you joining us. We're going to do it every Tuesday morning with Sage Rosenfeld. So get inside the All-22 and give us a look at what a quarterback has seen from the Houston Texans. They go up and take on the Cleveland Browns. So we'll have. It'll be interesting to see what the game plan looks like, and we'll be talking about it next Tuesday with Sage. Sage, thanks so much for joining us, and look forward to next Tuesday.
All right, guys. I will say, you know, week one, a win over the Jacksonville Jaguars is great, but you definitely don't know what type of football team they have yet. We will know if this Houston Texans team is legit with the Cleveland Browns, because that is a very, very good football team.
No doubt. Mm-hmm. No doubt. It's going to be a tough, tough matchup. Thanks, Sage. We appreciate it.
All right, guys.
There's Sage Rosenfeld's right here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 every week. In the meantime, we got SiteJab.
SiteJab is building up websites from the ground floor up. And yeah, that's the way they prefer to do it. They can take what you've already got. If you really love what you have, they can really take it, give it a, you know, a remodel on the front end, and they can maybe add some branding, some videos that brand your content. They can help you with the logo, design and social media engagement and how to handle your social media branding. They can add e-commerce to your site. I mean, what I want to get to is, yes, they build amazing websites with analytics baked into it and analytic decisions basing how they build the site so that they keep the eyes for longer on your site and help convert it to business. But something you need to know is that they have an entire suite of products for a small to medium-sized business to help you start making money and really become full-scale digital savvy on your end. And you need that when you're battling against competitors for business. So make sure that you go to the website, sitejab.com, S-I-T-E-Jab.com. They are your Houston-based home for website design, sitejab.com.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.
The original Peloton bike offers...
Time to talk about betting. Time to... Listen, did you have the Raiders last night?
I did.
Well, I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. Now, all you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975, and you can start playing and you can start winning. You can deposit whatever you want to deposit. Even if you're on right now, if you were on before, if you've never been on MyBookie, you get a match of 100% up to $1,000. So I deposit $500, I get an extra $500 to play. That's how it works at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. It is perfect. It is awesome. It is the best place to play. It is so easy to navigate. And when you win, you get paid. They will pay. It's not like pulling teeth trying to get your money out of there. So if you're looking for the best way to win, get paid, and, oh, by the way, double your chances because you double your money on any deposit that you make right now, no matter if you're a current client or you were there before or if you've never been there before, mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You know, I remember when the Texas Longhorns and, well, really everyone, when the Southwest Conference was breaking up, and everyone in Texas was really bad in 94, and everyone was storming a field. It was a field storming... tour.
Or beat them.
Yeah.
Rice beat Baylor. Texas means something.
So did Baylor. Everyone stormed the field.
Well, Baylor was Baylor then. They were terrible.
That's what I'm saying. It was a field storming year.
Yeah.
Arkansas field stormers.
And guess what? Cost them $100,000.
$100,000, big deal.
No.
Okay. Spit in your mouth for $100,000.
Whoa,
they don't care.
Whoa.
Sam Pittman's like, good. I'll probably pick up the tab on that one. I am curious as when the SEC chants are going to start.
I'm sure it started on Saturday.
I didn't hear. I don't know anyone who went to the game.
I'm curious.
You know, my wife had kind of highlighted that game as one that she wanted to go to. Maybe, like, maybe we should go here. I'm so grateful that never materialized.
Let me ask you this.
Can you imagine paying to go to that?
Let me ask you this, Lance. A Florida man has exposed himself to toll collectors 7 times.
He was 7 for 7?
Yeah. Do you think that's maybe a bit much?
Yeah.
Do you think he should find some massage therapist instead?
After 2, I think it's too many.
You think 2 is too many?
I think 1 is like, okay, that's a Florida man. Whatever.
Yeah.
2 is like, all right, this is getting to be a little much, Florida man. And even 3 or more for a Florida man is too much.
Did you see the couple that saved that cat that was dangling from the stadium?
And the hole at the Miami game?
Yeah.
And everyone went absolutely ballistic? Yeah.
They saved it with a flag. They caught the cat with a flag.
Oh, is that how they caught it? I didn't see how they caught it.
But they also said that the cat peed on them beforehand.
I saw where the cat literally rained everything on top of everyone. It was dangling by a single claw.
Right. And do you think
it's a cat, it's going to be fine when it falls.
I would have that flag.
Say it.
That flag, I would have rolled that flag up as soon as that cat peed on me.
I'd have just gotten out of the way. Ooh, cat dangling. I better get out of here.
Die, cat.
Whoa. Excuse me? I thought you were a cat guy, too. Uh-huh. Remember when you had Mr. Jinxie?
Yeah, I remember when I had Mr. Jinxie.
Cat?
Did you see the scorned wife? She raided her ex's cryogenic lab and stole his frozen brain. he was trying to, he wanted to be, for his brain to be frozen so he could be brought back to life. Well, she was so pissed off at him, apparently, 59 years old, that she went in and stole his brain from the cryogenics lab. And now he's not going to live again.
That, man, that was such a tough break.
That's
because he was going to live again at some point. But now, now it's off the table.
How do you feel about Kanye unfollowing Kim?
I think that's tough, tough action. My wife asked me yesterday, why was she wearing, my wife said, why is Kanye wearing something about Donda and some clothes? And I'm like, I don't care. Just don't ask me about Kanye ever again. That's what Raheel's for. Don't ask me any questions about Kanye. That was the end of the question. That was the end of all that stuff.
Did you see Jennifer Aniston had to respond to the David Schwimmer romance rumors? Do you think that David Schwimmer and Jennifer Aniston, if they ever got together, would that not, how warm would your heart be?
That would break the internet. They'll break the internet if they got together. I'm here for it. I stand. What other lame ass stuff that you can say about it? There's your answer. I don't care.
You don't care about David Schwimmer?
I don't care about.
And you, didn't you care about him when Ross and what's her name?
No, no. I was always hoping that he would just go away.
Why?
Aren't you off this show by now, crybaby?
No, he's going to get another $1 billion for another remake.
Joey hit it.
We're done. Charlie Polillo is up next. What about Craig DeSurf, though?
What about Craig DeSurf? Craig DeSurf is making moves. He's making money moves for you, and all you have to do is go to the website LandZCars.com, and you can see for yourself the variety of different vehicles that he has available for you and the specials they have. And every month they have new programs that are available for you. That's what they call them. And you can find out what the discounts are looking like for purchases, for lease, for the different vehicles. It's truck month right now. They have a $1,000 accessory allowance going toward the purchase of a 2021-2022 Silverado 1500, Silverado HD Colorado, a Tahoe, or a Suburban. They've got the GMC Sierra 1500 crew cab going on right now, four-wheel drive, with a purchase allowance of about $2,250 back to you. $57,845 right now is the price they're offering. And they've got awesome deals right now on their MSRP on the 2021 Buick Envisions, which is a crossover vehicle. So many different vehicles to choose from and so many great prices, and a company that is number one when it comes to customer satisfaction across the board. Go to Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton, or simply type in LandZCars.com to start the car buying experience.
Bye, bitch.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.